So, as Ian said, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. We're going to go on a journey around the world and look at the places where we as a church are touching lives and also ask ourselves a question. What is my mission journey? It's going to be a little bit different. We're going to be hearing from different people. We have got, let's give them each a loud cheer. We've got Richard Emmett from The Journey. We have got Nigel and Karen Rivers from Germany. We have got, we're going to be hearing briefly from Alison from Marlow. We have got, and this is very exciting, we have got Dave and Charlotte Pinion on a video call from Ethiopia. Yes. And we've got Terry Murphy as well from Maidenhead. So it's going to be an exciting morning. First of all, just want to give you a glimpse with the clicker thing, of the places that we touch as a church, that where we have connections, and just really take a look at this and go, wow, I'm part of a body of Christ that is touching lives and bringing hope into so many different places. Let's go. Okay, we have Linz and Lucy West in Manchester and across the UK. All right. We have, next one. We have Nigel and Karen in Germany. We have connections in Russia, which a number of you are part of as well. We have Albania. We support the YWAM guys out in Albania. Now you've started clapping, you have to clap for each of them. Turkey! We have Andy and Mavis out there now. This picture is of an Iranian refugee who Andy and Mavis led to the Lord this week. Isn't that awesome? So they are out there right now. Guys, also pray for them. There has been some trouble, if some of you read the news, and some of the protests that are happening in the city that they're in. So just bear them in mind in your prayers as well. Sierra Leone. We've got connections with Sierra Leone, with Mission Direct, and other local missionaries there. Uganda. We've got lots of connections to Uganda. And those fabulous people there, who you probably can't see too well, that is our Ignite team out in Uganda right now, doing some awesome stuff. So today, they are at a church, and they are running a prophecy tables at the back of a church, of a big church in Uganda, and doing loads of good stuff there. So yeah, bless them. Remember them in your prayers as well. Malawi. Lots of you have been to Malawi through Lynx and Andy. Mozambique. Julian and Annie are out in Mozambique, moving forward the development of the community center in Angosh. They're going to be there soon. They're actually at a hotel in Johannesburg, probably in a swimming pool now. But that's all right. They'll be out there soon. And Lesotho. A lot of you still have a heart for Lesotho, a place that a lot of us have visited. South Africa, through the churches that Ian and Liz supported. And moving across to... Oh, we're stuck on Africa. We don't want to leave. To India. Asha, a project on a lot of people's hearts. Nepal, through Colin and the Bible School and what you're doing as well, Pete. And also China. And in Hong Kong with Sue, another one of our river missionaries. And in Thailand with Andy and Val Simcock. And in Cambodia, where Laura and I went, and we still have connections with the Daughters Project there. And from Cambodia, we're going to take a long-distance flight all the way over to Honduras. Alejandro Cirillo is supporting work out there. And finally, Bolivia. Kaylee Dillon is out there with Tearfund right now. So that is a view of the River Mission map. And I hope that has excited you a bit. So, I'm going to invite our first guest to get himself ready. What I would ask you to do is that you listen to them, but don't put them on a pedestal. These people are fantastic, but they're also like you. Don't do that thing where you label them missionary and therefore dismiss them slightly because they're a little bit above you, because it's not true. All right, come on, Richard Emmett, give him a really warm welcome. Richard is the newly appointed, let's get a little cozier, let's move forward. Richard is the newly appointed church manager and also part of The Journey, and he's brought a plant. Right.
A church plant.
Very good. Hey, Budum. And he's got a great sense of humour.
It's getting too serious.
So, Richard, let's go back to September 2012. You are standing in a field or somewhere quite remote in the middle of Malawi, a father of how many kids?
Three.
Father of three.
Three.
A career accountant, and you're standing in a field in Malawi trying to help families feed themselves. What's happened? What on earth has catapulted you into that totally other world?
Well, to cut a long story short, but at the end of university, and I completed an agricultural and forestry science degree, I at that age looked abroad to go on a development project, at the time with Tier Fund. But I soon realized I didn't really have, I needed more skills to give to a project abroad other than just knowledge and learning. So praying about it with dreams and stirrings, God led me to do something I didn't actually want to do at first, which was to leave my nice home in Tunbridge Wells and go to London to train to be an accountant, but with the view of helping abroad on the business side of running the show whilst also having a good knowledge.
So you had a bit of a vision that was there, that was planted, and somehow you held on to that while being an accountant for many years?
Yeah, God gave me a picture. Actually, I was in my office in Photodisc, and I can still see it, of stepping stones out in water. And he reminded me to trust him just for the next step. He said, Richard, don't try and see all the steps ahead and where they go. Just trust me for the next step and take it. So when I met Andy at the Journey some 2 years ago, I didn't know who he was, but I was already prepared for the invitation to go with Links to Malawi to look at their agricultural work. And for me personally, it was like a champagne cork coming out of a bottle because there's a 32-year gap between going to London and meeting Andy.
Okay, exciting. Well done, Andy. So, okay, bit of dose of reality here. The champagne cork has been unleashed. You're out there. I imagine there were some pretty big barriers, language being another one. Perhaps the fact it's been 30 years since your training, trying to understand how do you fit your training in the UK to Malawi. How on earth did you overcome some of those big obstacles? And you weren't there for very long either, so just to throw in the mix.
That's right. They were just short-term visits. Well, Lynx and their local partners, I have to say, are very flexible and able to change approach to meet differing needs when you're on the ground. And they provide interpreters, which is brilliant, and transport to really help us engage quickly, even when time's short. So we employed out there a targeted questionnaire designed to reveal what the local people are farming in each village and the challenges they face. And the critical issue became clear, consistent in every village we asked. You have families living side by side like you and me. Your crops are growing and you've got plenty. My family are hungry and sometimes starving, and we're just next door to each other. And to be honest, Malawi is like the Garden of Eden. It's a beautiful country. Everything that grows is lush. So it's a crime, really, for people to have not enough.
What's the root of that? How can your crops be growing fantastically and I'm next door to you and mine are absolutely not doing anything?
Part of it was lack of knowledge, but really the key of it is the rains are coming 5 weeks later and they're stressing out small farms or less well-run farms, or particularly if you've got a widow or your family because of sickness or death is struggling for other reasons.
Sure. Okay.
So I spent most of my days walking and talking in the villages, constantly looking and listening for answers. Because everything grows well, there was probably a simple key to unlock my crop problems and be as fruitful as my neighbours. And the answers came, praise God, as I was looking through aha moments, quite in all different places, a sort of tingle, but without the tingle. And for example, moringa trees, supercharged with essential nutrients, are a lost crop of East Africa.
Let me help you out here.
Yeah, here she is. Andy grew. The embarrassing thing is I can't grow them. Andy grew this. This is 2 to 3 weeks old. She's fast, isn't she? And she's described as probably by a scientific journal as the most valuable tree on the planet because she is supercharged with nutrients.
Come and mug Richard at the end.
Well, you can ask Andy for a price. Sure, I'll do you a deal. And I've lost my notes. And so then we start looking for these keys. But they're like the unicorn, really. Lots of people have heard about it, but no one can tell you where it is or where they are. So, but later, sometimes on a subsequent trip, I would find, by making sure I mixed with everyone really well, not just stay with the leadership team, someone would come up and tap me on the shoulder, Clement, and just say, hey, I can show you this. And off we go, and the program will be started.
So it sounds like lots of little God appointments that helped you to get in quick and get to the root, if you like, of what was going on. Now, when we spoke, Richard, you told me a story, a moment or an epiphany, if you like, that you had while you were out there that really captured the reason of why you were there. And that was really powerful when you shared it to me, so I wondered if you could share it with everyone this morning.
Okay, just briefly. Well, before that, at Blantyre Cathedral, I was saying, Lord, what on earth can I do here? There's nothing here. Where do I start? How can I do this? And he reminded me that I should just try to help one person. If I help one person before I leave, then it'll spread. He'll do the rest. And so this person I met, I was on in Kandy, walking with my young interpreter, exhausting. I've had a few near-death moments trying to keep up with my interpreters, to be honest, in the heat. I saw a widow, and I'll never forget her. Her life was so hard. Her husband had died. Her land was too small. No one's helping her because they rarely want her land, my interpreter tells me. And she looked at me with such tired eyes. And when I think of her, I think I'll carry her picture always. It spurs me to work hard where I can to give help someone like her break out of a cycle and spiral of hopelessness and burden. God doesn't want us to have burdens, does he? Does he? He wants us to take them off, and that really, I think, is part of going abroad. You learn to love people, and you freely, if you go, as I'd encourage you to, you will really find it personally worthwhile.
Great, and we can tell it's really impacted you. I think we're doing a Skype test call in the background. Just ignore it. Pretend it's not happening. So, as long as it's not actually happening on the screen, I'm sure we can avoid it. Okay, Richard, we are 2 years on, almost, from that initial trip. And I guess the question probably on a lot of our minds is, the trip was great and obviously impacted you. Did it work? What's the impact been for those families, those widows that you were trying to help?
Well, that's a good question. Well, God has blessed our efforts with 5 programs, which cost little or nothing to set up. Do not add to a family's daily work. They just grow or multiply. They replicate themselves quickly. This moringa tree, she grows 6 feet a year. I mean, most things that grow that fast are balsa or bamboo, rotten to eat. This is supercharged. This is called the miracle tree. It really is. They're beginning to spread. They've been taken hold in north, south, and central Malawi. They're beginning to spread by show and tell. And where there was one moringa tree like that in Chapsinja, that the chief had planted, but really didn't know what it was. What it was, he now has 1,000, I think, or maybe. But we now have 2,000, and you can start imagining each tree produces 20,000 seeds. So these things could go viral, and we've got beekeeping. That's an annual salary to a family, and you don't have to do anything; they just do it. Well, God does it with the bees. We've got free anti-pest techniques to store grain better, so they don't lose their food to rats and weevils, but it's for them, their families. Water harvesting off roofs in the dry season to cover this delay in the rains. And we have pit compost, which not only is free fertilizer, which is a critical burden. It costs 3 months' wages. So imagine 3 months of your wages just to buy a 50-kilo bag. This is free because you can make it. But the money you save, you can spend on books, bicycles, pencils for your kids, clothes. You can transform the whole economy. That's great, isn't it?
Awesome.
I get really excited, good. You see.
Really good, really exciting. So, Richard, lastly, just in summary, what you've done is remarkable. And I guess there's a danger in which people can look at you and go, well, that's exactly it. It's remarkable. Your skills are remarkable. Your courage, perhaps. What would you say to people who are thinking, oh, I couldn't use my professional skills like that in a totally removed context? What would your few words be to them?
Well, dear brothers and sisters, I'm no different, of course, to anyone else, but I have learned to wait patiently and to try and be more available as opportunities present themselves. So I would encourage anyone here who's got a tingle or thought to go to explore, pray and explore that next step, just the next step of the stepping stones, and go for it, and don't complicate it too much where it's all leading and blah, 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 as I'm... oft quoted as saying. And then with God's help, I think each one of us has more to offer than we imagine. And if you just help one person on one trip, see what God will do through that person. It will go viral. And that's my prayer. And I ask for your prayers that these things, that we'll forest Malawi with these things, because then there won't be any more hungry children.
Yeah.
That'd be great. And they'll be covered in bees, because then everyone will have enough money to send their kids to school. And with God's grace, I believe every one of you, if you have a heart like that, could do the same for the Lord. Because I believe, lastly, that is the heart of the Father, to take burdens off the poor and the hungry.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Richard, thank you very much. Give him a round of applause, everyone. Really good. Really inspiring. Okay, so, Alison, where are you, Alison? Where are you, Alison? What are you doing? You are slightly barking. This is a little awkward, actually, standing on stage with you wearing that. Alison, why are you wearing a mosquito net?
I think it's pretty obvious.
No.
I hate mosquitoes. I hate spiders. He was saying that, talking about widows, it's those black widows that I don't like.
Is there anywhere that you're going that you're in risk of any of these things?
Well, I love my job. I absolutely adore my job with Tearfun, but I absolutely hate having to go to those places where there's more spiders and more horribly creaky, crawly things. So anyway, on Monday, I'm going to Cambodia.
Okay, fantastic. Well, we'll pray for you,
you.
That your fear will be taken off, perhaps symbolically, of just releasing fear. We'll take this off. No other symbolism attached. So, we're about to watch a video.
Yep.
Tell us what it's about.
Okay, so this weekend at Big Church Day Out, which Pete and I are going to, we're camping. That's a miracle in itself. Well, Tearfund are launching our No Child Taken campaign. What it's about is that every 30 seconds, a child is moved into trafficking. So, you know, the stuff that we're hearing at the moment in Nigeria is just the tip of the iceberg. Tearfund are trying to, this year, take 50,000 kids away from trafficking. So 1 million in total are taking every year children, and we're trying to take 50 kids out. So this is 50,000. So this is the start of it this weekend.
Okay, great, awesome.
And I'm going to Cambodia to just help launch that campaign over there.
Brilliant. Well, guys, let's just remember to get behind this amazing woman. She's financial director of Tier Fund. She's got a lot of influence, and it's an agency that's doing a lot of great work. So yeah. Bless you, Alison, and let's watch this video. Okay, that is No Child Taken with Tier Fund. Guys, this is about our heart as well, you know. We, as the church, we take a stand and we say no. We say no. So come and talk to Alison, come and talk to me if you're interested in getting involved in this area, whether it's through Tier Fund or other projects. It's something that's part of our DNA as well.